welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
It's good. I'm going to speak this morning. I normally, on the summit offering times, I talk about the vision of the church. And I've got a vision talk that I've adapted and used for years after years, because in one sense, the vision doesn't change. You know, it's the same vision. God highlights it, God promotes it, God focuses on certain areas. But the vision really remains the same. Our mission remains the same. But I felt this week, as I was seeking the Lord, that he wanted me to come at it from a different angle. So same vision, different angle. And he gave me this title, Life's Too Short. Hallelujah. So, because I want to talk about life's too short to miss what God has actually for you. Life's too short not to have a vision. Life's too short not to have purpose. Life's too short to get lost in the sort of daily life of stuff that we have to do, but that can so easily become the focus. And actually, there's so much more for each and every life on this planet. You know? And I don't care whether you're 8 years old or 80 years old, life's still too short. All right, for whatever you got left. We don't know how much time we got left, but I certainly want to make the most of it. And I'm loving that Jill's here today, because she's really giving me some encouragement. Hallelujah. Come on, Jill. She's a mighty woman of God. She's my inspiration. I tell her often, she's my inspiration. She travels all the way from Driffield to be here? You know? That's a long way to come every Sunday. I think that's awesome. Hallelujah. She travels because this is the place that God's feeding her, where she's encountering God, and she knows that this is where God's called her to be. A life too short to get distracted and do something else, or take the comfortable option. And bless you, when you're older than 21, you sometimes want to take the comfortable option, because I mustn't mention a lady's age, although Jill's quite proud of it sometimes. But you know, she doesn't take the comfortable option. She's here. And I love that. So she's my inspiration. I want to be as passionate about God and about life and about church and Jesus and everything else as Jill is when I'm her age. Hallelujah. Life's too short to do anything else. But I don't know how long I've got. So life's definitely too short. That time of worship we just had, you will never have that time of worship again. So, you know, that if you were distracted by other things or what was going on or thinking about, you know, you missed it. Life's too short to miss these things. These times are precious. Sunday mornings are precious. You will only ever have a certain number of Sunday mornings in your lifetime. And when you miss one, for, you know, inconsequential, you start thinking, oh, I missed it. It's gone. I'm not saying deliberate times when you're on holiday or something where you do something else. I'm not getting at people or anything like that. I'm just highlighting the importance of having a God-focused life. You know, I'm not saying that being at church on a Sunday morning is the bee's knees and everything. It certainly isn't. It's just a very important part of it. Hallelujah. Some people find it more difficult than others to be here every week. Maybe you've got a disability that makes it more difficult for you to get here. So it's what's in the heart, really. It's about not wasting what you have and making the most of what you have. Amen? But the clock's ticking. What's your priorities? And what are we here for? After all, if this is giving into the summit, it's really giving into more or less everything we do, because at the moment, you know, this is kind of the focus point of where everything's flying out into all our different communities and towns and villages, even down to Driffield. Hallelujah. But even much further than that, yes, okay, God based us in Scarborough, but he very clearly said it was a beachhead. When the army takes the beachhead, it's because they're going to take the land. Hallelujah. They want a decent beachhead because they need something that's going to break out from it. They need to make sure they firmly establish themselves so that the enemy is being repelled so that they can take the land. That's what we're about, taking the land. Not with guns and weapons, but with love and joy and the passion of Jesus. Yeah, the world, this town, hopefully, by the grace of God, is just a bit better because we're here. And my constant vision is that it's a lot better. For everyone that lives in this town, even those that don't like Christians, I want the town to be better because they live here. You know, as we seek God and as we pray, we expect the crime rate to come down. But then we do practical things like get out on the streets with street angels, youth angels, to practically help that crime rate come down. That's not seeing anybody saved, but it's part of loving the community. Because we're basically all that people get to see of Jesus. This is Jesus. This is what people, when people see church, they see Jesus. When people see you, they see Jesus. That's it. There's some people, that's the only thing they've ever had. Hallelujah. I wonder what it was like to meet Jesus when he was walking on this planet. And what was it actually like to meet him? I guess if you were genuine, it was brilliant. I mean, think of the lady that was about to be stoned. That was Jesus. Think of the Zacchaeus up the tree, hiding up the tree because he feared really a knife in his back because he was a vicious, corrupt tax collector. And yet Jesus calls him down by name and honors him. He's one of the oppressors of the town, but he honors him, and life breaks in by going to have a meal with him. Just before that, he's honored someone who's at the opposite end of the spectrum to Zacchaeus. It's when he heals the man who calls out, "Heal me." Well, he says, "Jesus, save me." He calls out Bartimaeus from the side of the road as Jesus is coming into town. And you remember all the townspeople are trying to keep him away. No, don't spoil it. We want to show Jericho at its best. Keep out of this, Bartimaeus, which means son of filth. You know, he was at the other end, and then Jesus honors him by stopping and talking to him. Jesus came for all. We rejoice when he comes for the oppressed and the poor, but he also came for the oppressor and the rich. That's the amazing thing, because he transforms all lives. Ha, that was a whole sermon there. But So here's another, what are we here for? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That sums up everything, Jesus says. It's in Matthew chapter 16. It sums up everything. He's talking to the rich young man who asks him, "What must I do?" And he says, "Well, the whole of the law, if you like, the whole of the Old Testament is summed up in these two things. Love is the key word." Amen? So what are our priorities? If life's too short, it's too short not to love. It's too short not to put God first. But it's easy to say put God first. Put his kingdom first. Let's explore a little bit this morning about what that means. But we're specifically thinking, because it's a summit offering, okay, what does that mean for me? How does that involve me? How am I part of this? Because if you hear a word preached on a Sunday morning and it doesn't make any difference to you and there's no practical application for you, and often it's you that's got to work that out, then it's a waste of time, really. It's just words. It's just things being thrown into the air. You know, it's like a Bible study that really doesn't do anything about changing your relationship with God or your attitude or to how you're living. It just becomes head knowledge. And eventually your head becomes so big, you can't get out the doorway because you're just full of Bible knowledge. You say, "Well, isn't it good to know the Bible?" Absolutely. But if you don't put it into action, you end up in deception. It's like looking in a mirror and forgetting what you look like. You know, you need the word to see what you really look like. So, let's explore a bit more. Life's too short not to. Now, you're going to recognize these ones, I think. Okay? Not to. Dare to dream. It's got to be there, hasn't it? That is the core of our vision. Dare to dream. God loves you. God has accepted you. God calls you precious. God honors you. God wants to be with you. Like Zacchaeus, he calls you down from the tree and says, "Come on, let's have dinner together. Let's have a meal together. Let's fellowship together." So we dare to dream because a God who's prepared to go to the cross and die and suffer for us is going to have big plans. It'd be rather a waste of time to go through all that pain and agony and then, "Oh, what am I going to do with it? I don't know. I could preach somewhere, maybe." Yeah. You just imagine I hope you can't imagine the Holy Spirit conference going on. You know, the Holy Trinity conference, rather. Because he has a plan and a purpose for you. Hallelujah. So we dare to dream because God's plans and purposes are never boring. They're an adventure. I like the word adventure because adventure implies that it's not just all, you know, sailing into the sunset on a cruise and having a love. It's an adventure. Adventures do have difficult times. Adventures do have cost. Adventures even have fallings out in amongst the team that are on the adventure because adventure places stress on people and stress brings out the worst in us sometimes. And sometimes that causes teams to sort of split up a bit. But by the grace of God, we get back together again and we pursue the adventure of following Jesus. Amen. But let's not be sort of soppy and doula. "Oh, we're going to love one another." It's like the couple that are getting married. "Oh, we're so in love." Well, let's talk about in the marriage prep about how you're going to deal when you fall out with one another. Oh, we'll never have an argument because we love one another. Yes, so has every other couple on the planet. And every other couple that's on the planet that's ever got married has had arguments. And they probably, many of them even thought, I don't know if this can go on. Because it feels like, I don't know how we can get back together again. But we have Jesus to bring the team back. We have love your neighbor as yourself to bring us back. To love the Lord our God. What does it say? With all our mind, with all our strength, with everything we have, basically. It's not a kind of, yeah, God's okay. It's a, yeah, come on. I want to follow Jesus on the adventure he has for me. So dare to dream of great things. Dare to dream of great things. What can God do with you? He says, I can think of things beyond what you can even imagine. So what can you imagine? Hallelujah. But know that what God has for you will be great for you. Anyway, I can't preach on dare to dream because we'd get stuck on that. Here's the next one. We did a lot of that at the beginning of this year. Let's make some noise. Do you know where it comes from? It's not the worship time. It's not referring to guitars or drums at all. It's from Luke 2, verse 1, I think it is, where it says, and it was heard that Jesus was in the house, but the word heard is also noised. God, you know that so well. Let's make some noise. Let's get it noise. Jesus is in the house. Jesus is here for every person in this town of Scarborough and every person in the villages around, every person in the towns around. It just needs the people who are willing to show them that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. How do people know? They look at you. Hallelujah. Does that work when they look at you? Of course it does. You lot are awesome. Right. Oh, make some noise. You are now shocked that I got past that so quick. Then, here's another tagline, if you like, a place to belong. It's really important that we are in this together. It's a place to belong, a place where every individual has a part and a role. Whatever strata of society you come from, whatever colour you are, whatever you are, that you can come to a place that is somewhere you can belong and be part of. Okay, so this is a tagline that's been on a lot of things. A place to belong, or sometimes a place to belong to. Life's too short not to belong to something. Life's too short to be off on your own in a little sailing boat. Might be enjoyable for a while, but when it sinks, there's no one to rescue you. When the storms come in, there's nobody to help. Even when the sun is absolutely glorious, there's no one to talk about. Isn't this fabulous? Sometimes you need people to talk about how great things are. Aren't things a lot more fun when you've got people to share it with? You know, if you're into having a great Christmas party, you know, it's a bit boring having it by yourself. Let's play charades. Oh, five words. First word, what is it? Oh, that, this, those. It's not going to be much fun on your own. You need someone to have fun with. You know, sometimes we concentrate so much on how we help one another through the difficult times, but sometimes we just need to have someone to play a game of football with, or to go down the beach with and go surfing, you know? Not me, personally, but don't go surfing very often, but some of us do. Because even if you like surfing on your own, even if you like solitude on your own, when you catch that really cool wave and you just do that really cool move, it's so much better when someone was there to see it. You know, and you say, did you see that? Yeah, wasn't it amazing? It was cool. And you just, oh, yeah, come on. You know, it's so much better when there's somebody there. It's good. Life's too short to miss that. And I've got another one on here. This is another one. A place to be welcome home. It's not on so many things at the moment. It was there at the beginning. Welcome home. It was on all of our service leaflets. I don't think it's evaporated into the ether. I think it was something that God gave us, very crucial, very much at the beginning, that it should be a place where people are welcomed home. Home is a place where you feel everyone accepts you. You know, a good home. Some of you might come from homes that are really difficult. I appreciate that. But if we imagine a good home, a perfect home, or even not a perfect home, but a home that's just trying, you're going to have a place where everyone is accepted and everybody wants the best for you. Yeah? I mean, I didn't put it on the list, but I did think of another one. It's up here. I don't know how many of you have noticed it. If I go in here, It's just here. It's just for you two. Up here it says, expect a miracle. That would be another good one. It's expect a miracle. You know, I point that out to people sometimes in the cafe when they've got issues or problems or stuff. Well, let's expect a miracle because we believe in a God that works miracles. You know, for our friends in Nepal, we're expecting a miracle. That whatever's happened, even though we don't know the full, we praise God that it seems that they're doing okay. But let's expect a miracle, that everything is up and running really quickly. Because there's a link there, and it's important that God gives you links because they're people that you pray for. Yeah? Are you all right on this? Let's keep going then, because life's too short to get delayed. Right, so life's too short not to. It says rebuild the house of the Lord. The reason it doesn't just say build the house of the Lord is because it's taken from this passage in Haggai. Okay? Haggai, you're thinking, who's Haggai? Maybe some of you are thinking. Haggai is one of the Old Testament prophets. It's a tiny little book. If you've never looked the book up and you've got a Bible, you'll probably need to look in the contents page first. It comes after all the big books like Isaiah and Jeremiah. And there is a tiny little book of Haggai. He's a bit of a hero of mine because he was one of the prophets that established the temple again in the land after the people had been exiled and there was really nothing of God. Really the effective witness of God had been wiped out. And Haggai and others like Zechariah were part of the team or the leadership team that stirred the people up to rebuild the temple. And this is right at the beginning in chapter 1, so it's more probably one of the early things he was saying to the people to stir them up in faith, to say, come on people, we can do this. So what it starts off with in verse 2 is, this is what the Lord Almighty says. So he's saying that the people are saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. All right, so there was a general message. Now, the reason they were saying that was it was a bit of a mess. You know, the nation was a mess. They wanted to concentrate on building their homes and getting their communities sorted before they got on with sort of the superficial stuff like building a temple. But they were God's people. The temple was the focus. And so the people were saying this, so the Lord needed to send them a message saying, come on, life's too short just to be doing that stuff. You need to get your priorities sorted out. So he sent this message to them. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house, this is the Lord speaking, lies in ruins? Now remember, when we look at Old Testament scriptures like this one from Haggai, they're talking about a very physical thing, and we're often talking about something spiritual. There's often natural consequences as well, such as we can be too focused on rebuilding our own homes, physically, and forget the mission of the kingdom. But also there's the spiritual disruption in the land, that we can be so concerned to be seeking God for our own spiritual development, that we forget there is a kingdom that we are to seek first. Okay, so this is our vision. I'm just saying it in a different way. This is still Dare to Dream. This is still all the other stuff. This is still, if you've been on the Discover course, you'll have learned about the vision of Kingdom Faith nationally, which is summarized by us by Dare to Dream. But there's like 5 points about bringing revival to this nation for this generation and the next. But this is still the same stuff. So why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. That's a good phrase. Think. Think. Sometimes Christians get so paranoid about thinking. They say, oh, I can't think. That's natural. Yes, we absolutely need to think. Jesus has renewed your mind. He has not removed your mind. We need to think. Get studying the word. Read apologetic books. That's not books that are an apology. That's books that are apologetic. They're explaining how everything works. Okay? So use your mind. Give thought to your ways, says the Lord. Give careful thought. So you're thinking about, am I living as God has called me? Because ultimately, there's no point coming to church really if you're just not interested in doing what God wants you to do. Okay, it's not like God's going to splat you with a hammer and say, there's this, 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 and this. He is amazing. He addresses things that you can cope with. I know this from experience. I came back to the Lord in an amazing way when I was at university roughly 30-odd years ago, and God has dealt with me in stuff over that 30 years. I dread to think what would have happened 30 years ago if he'd just thrown everything on me at that point. Presumably, I hope by the grace of God, there's at least another 30 years of God just coming, now let's do this one, now let's do this one. So it's not overwhelming when God gives us stuff. So we think about what God's saying and we work out what God's saying to us when we read Scripture. And we ask the Holy Spirit to highlight it. And that's called revelation. That's a whole nother element to thinking. Thinking is our own human thinking and working out, and that's good. But then God gives revelation. And revelation is like, if you're reading the Bible, it's like the text on the page just goes, dee, 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 dee. You think, oh, this is a bit of a now word. I mean, not literally. You're not going to open your Bible and it starts making a funny noise and literally words come flashing. But to your mind, where God is speaking to, through your spirit, it's like it's doof, 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 doof. Mind you, it's not beyond God to put writing on a wall, but that's another story. So you've planted much but harvest little. You eat but are not satisfied. You drink but are still thirsty. You put on clothes but you cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear. This is one for our age. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. I think everybody gets to feel like that sometimes. Sometimes we feel like that with church finances, don't we, Richard? But how come we had that great offering? Where's it gone? But what the Lord is describing really here is life that's lost its focus. All right, if we focus on all these things, and they're not bad things, are they? We need food, we need clothes, and we need those wages. But if they become our focus, life's too short. You won't see the fruitfulness that God has promised. Because the fruitfulness comes, he says, when you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Amen? So, let's not put our wages in pockets with holes in. So what does the Lord say about this? This is what the Lord Almighty says. Again, he says, give careful thought to your ways. Now, go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. So his answer to the first bit isn't believe more. Believe I'm your provider more. Call on God more and more and more and more to get your wages more and more and more, because they're still going to go through the holes in your pockets. He says, if you really want to see a reversal in those natural things, you need to make sure you're putting my house first. All right? You with me on that? So when he says, go up into the hills and bring down timber, now we're talking about Haggai, talking about the physical rebuilding of the temple. So the practical thing to do was to go up into the hills, cut the wood down, because they were going to use the wood to build the temples. So how do we take that and understand it for us today? Basically, do something. Okay, we could study extensively on the hills. We could study extensively on the timber and the rebuilding in the house. But the basic summary is do something. All right, so we'll leave it at that so that we haven't got a long word. Just do something. Because then, says the Lord, I will take pleasure in it. What's he saying? I will take pleasure in the house of the Lord, which is you. Because you are the house of God. It says in Corinthians, do you not know? Have you not heard? That you yourselves are God's temple. You're now the temple. This is now where the Holy Spirit resides. And when we get together, it's one big Holy Spirit temple. Cool. Okay? So he will take pleasure when we are working for the building of the house. It's not just do something. It's not just, well, I think I'll go and surfing. Because we mentioned that positively. We'll mention it negatively. You know, it's not just go and do whatever you want. It's do something that builds the house. Now, if going surfing with a bunch of people is building the house, because you're building friendship, comradeship, bringing people in, helping others to discover that actually Christians have fun. In fact, we have more fun than anyone else. We're the only ones who can really, really enjoy parties. Because we don't need to get drunk. We're just filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. I think Christians are hilarious. They're the only ones that go to parties and make complete idiots of themselves without actually drinking anything. In fact, I think it's quite, you know, remember the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit falls on the people and they say, they're drunk. It's only and Peter has to get up and say, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. I know you think we're bad, but we're not this drunk by 9 o'clock. You know, because they're just full of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how they were expressing that joy, but they look drunk. Sometimes the most spiritual people just look drunk because they're just gone. So Sometimes they collapse on the floor. Sometimes they laugh. Sometimes they dance around. Sometimes you can't understand a word they're saying because they're just so... You must have met that. You must have met that. Or the ones where you have to sort of help people get home again, you know, and you think, don't let me get stopped by the police. Don't let me get stopped. Not that I'm saying they should drive like that. Oh, life's too short to miss out on all this greatness. Because that's, sometimes we look and think, building the house of God, yeah, but actually it's about enjoying the adventure. Right. Tap there. Okay, I've said all that stuff. But here's a good question, if you weren't thinking it. But what did Jesus say on this? Am I speaking the same kind of stuff that Jesus would speak? Because if I'm not, let's kick it out. We don't want anything that's not of God, do we? All right, so it's important that we consider what Jesus said. Well, to take a very short bit out of a long bit of what he said this. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Okay? It's from Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. But he says, I will build my church. I will build my church. Now, sometimes Christians get a little bit carried away with that, and they think that means they sit sipping a tequila while Jesus does all the work. That's not what you're supposed to do. Oh, dear. Now, you remember what I said about Revelation? We have the honour and the privilege of labouring and partnering with him. He's the boss. That's why he's building his church. But he often uses these hands and these feet, doesn't he? It's not just a supernatural thing that he's doing, although that's also true. In terms of us, we have an honour and a privilege of being, as it's called in the word, co-workers or co-labourers. Isn't that amazing? Co-workers. Not, you'll be my slaves when I build my temple. We will work together. That's how Jesus honours us, with him. So we work with him in the construction and in the advancement of the household of God, of the whole vision of what God is doing, and then passing that on to the next generation so that they can run with it. So it's, as I said earlier, we represent in this everything that he stands for. And it's a challenge, isn't it? There's a scripture that says, I can't remember where it is. It's not, because as he is, so are we in the world. Anybody remember where it is? Look around at the ones that know the word. Someone could look it up on their little phone. Because as he is, so are we in the world. In other words, as Jesus is, so are we. In this world, we're Jesus to others. That's the challenge. Church is Jesus to others. That's the importance of it. So what is this church? What's the point of it? What's the purpose of it? Because if we're talking about a summit offering and giving, giving costs us. It's supposed to. It's supposed to cost us. But you want to know that you're giving into something that's purposeful. You know, I joked earlier about the money going and falling out of our pockets, but the reality is there is many things that have to have money spent on them to enable the mission of church to happen. Sunday mornings, yeah, of course, but everything else that happens as well. And there's an awful lot that happens. You should check it out on the website sometimes. It's just so fun to go to the actual summit page even and look at what happens based out of this place. It's great fun. Okay, it's not the be-all and end-all. I think another key thing of church is small groups, whether they're life teams or other teams working together, because that's when you really get to know one another. And you know, so the hub team, it can be considered a small group, or the little builders team is like a small group of people working together. That's real fellowship. Let's go on to the next page. So, life's too short. So, how does the Bible refer to this church thing? We're not going to do an extensive study because we don't have the time, but this is a good one. It refers to us as the household of God. All right? the family of God would be an absolutely valid way to write that down as well. And notice, the scriptures don't say it's like the household of God. It actually says it is the household of God. Here's a scripture. This is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So as a result, now what's the result? What's he referring to? He's referring to what Jesus has done in his death and resurrection, enabling forgiveness and enabling restoration. So as a result of what Jesus has done, you are no longer foreigners outside of God's purpose. You are not aliens, but children of God, fellow citizens with all who belong to Christ. Together you are God's people and members of his household. We are the household of God. Okay? We're not even aliens. Obviously not aliens from Mars. Aliens in the technical term, really, of somebody who is living in a country and enjoying the benefits of that country and working, but hasn't yet been given full citizen rights. So you're not like that. You're not like you've just got in through the door. You're just allowed to have the benefits. I suppose if you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never said yes to Jesus, you've never said, yes, I'm going to try this, I'm going to go for this, I turn from doing stuff my way to doing stuff your way, I suppose in a sense you can be an alien in the kingdom sort of by coming along to church, because you will receive many of the blessings because you'll get to live amongst the blessed people. But you will be an alien. Just looking around the room to see if there's anybody that's green with little things going. But you would be an alien because the full rights of the kingdom, the full rights of the nation, if you like, come when you say yes to Jesus and you become part of the household. It's better than being a citizen because you actually become a son. You actually become adopted into the family because that's how accepted you are. And there's nobody that gets turned down. There's no quiz to do to see if you're eligible to become British. All right, you get in by one question. Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord? And everything else comes from there, from then on. So we're the household of God. So we are working, when we're seeking first his kingdom, when we're talking about what is our purpose, what is our life, it comes out of that context. We're the family of God. Amen? There's another one. This is another common one. We are his body. He's the head, but we are his body. We are the outworking of Jesus on this planet. Again, not like, but is. I'm going to read to you from the truth version here. This is Romans chapter 12 from verse 4. Every one of us has a body with different parts, each with its own distinctive function. And in the same way, all those who belong to Christ form his one body. So we all belong to him and also to one another. We're the body. There's no such thing as a useful hand that's just been sort of cut off and dismembered, other than to scare someone. All right? It's not going to be able to perform as a hand unless it's connected to the body. But that is actually true of all the parts of our body. If you cut it off, it's not going to be able to function. You might be thinking, well, I could have my appendix out. Yes, you can. And the body will do okay without an appendix, but the appendix won't continue to function, that's for sure. Okay, there are parts of the body. You can cut off a hand and the body will function, although it will really miss the hand. But the hand will no longer function. So we are parts of that body. Yes, we can get cut off from the body, but notice the body is affected by that cutting off. We all suffer when someone is disconnected. Okay? We sometimes think, I don't make any difference. That just means we don't perhaps understand the difference that we are making. Because we all make a difference. Everyone is essential. Everyone is important. And that's why we need to fulfill our role. The other function is a hand that is never used. It would be, you know, it would atrophy, the word is, isn't it? Where the muscles would stop using. If you were determined never to move your hand, it would not do it any good. If you put a tourniquet around your leg because you thought, I need to preserve this leg, it must not be used. I will keep it for the glory of God. It will actually die because it's not getting the life supply of blood because you've cut it off effectively, even though it's still there. You can't preserve yourself by not being involved. Preserving yourself actually cuts you off. Again, not like, but is. So, in terms of, let's just think Sunday morning-ish. for a minute, and things we've said, if we take the host team, that's why I often say the host team, but even particularly the people that are on that front door that welcome people when they come to this building, they are the most, that to me actually is the most crucial ministry we have. Because you're going to get your assumption of what Jesus is like and of what church is like by the way the person on the door looks at you, smiles at you, or says hello. Don't you think? So, for example, let's take you two for a minute, okay? Could you just... Yeah, sorry, you're busy and comfortable and everything. You're now the welcome team on the front door. If you just go here and face this way towards me, there you are, on the front door, okay? And Ron and Claire, they're really great friends, but they haven't seen one another for a while, and so they're catching up. And they're having a really great conversation. Just talk about how brilliant God is and something. And, you know, they're talking about how brilliant... And here I come to the church. I've heard about this church. I've heard that there's love in this place. So I come up to the... And I come in and there's these guys having a conversation. And I walk past them and wonder, where the heck I go in this building? Well, there's stairs. I'll go up those. Yeah. These are lovely people. But did the person coming in feel they were lovely? No, he thought they were unfriendly. They weren't doing anything bad. They were having a fantastic conversation about God is awesome. But they didn't show Jesus. Yeah? Thank you. I know that was very quick and it was a great conversation. I hope you caught up. But so the host team on that front door. Oh, that is so, so important. I mean, it's not just the front door. It's at the top of the stairs. It's as you come into the building. Another absolutely crucial team. The hub team. The coffee team. You know? It's so easy for them. It's the same. They can be, oh, I'm on the team with Shona this week. Fantastic. I haven't seen Shona for 3 weeks. I haven't had a decent conversation with her. But when you're on the hub team, that's not the time you can catch up. Because you're there to say, can I help you? What would you like? And why we talk about having the best coffee in town is because the excellence of the coffee demonstrates to us how we worship Jesus. We think he's worth it. We don't serve coffee, we serve Jesus. I mean, I know we serve Jesus, but what I mean is we're giving them Jesus. When you smile and say, here is your coffee, here is your cup of tea, here is your root beer, or whatever you're having, don't think we've got any of that. There is something of Jesus that you're communicating. That's the hub team. Another one, another crucial team, of course, it's these guys up here. You know? But I often say to the worship team, in that, because they're here to enable us to meet with God. That's what they do. They enable us to meet with God in the worship. But particularly on a Sunday morning when there's people come in that have maybe not experienced that kind of thing or before. And I often say to the worship team, in that first song, although you're engaging with God, engage with people. Because they want to feel welcome. You know, those amongst you that are away in God straight away won't know what they're doing up here. But others are looking to see what happens. So if I'm singing up here and I'm like this, which is a great spiritual pose, don't you think? Okay, and they're thinking, why won't he look at anybody? You know, and I'm not sort of saying, hello. I'm not talking about that either. But just a friendly looking around the room, and occasionally giving a bit of eye contact, but doing that first song, which is our first song Sunday mornings, generally speaking, is a lively, jumpy, catch-all song. It's the spiritual picture is of the people of God coming into the courtyard of the temple, which was the place of thanksgiving and praise. So they're coming in, you know, just celebrating and meeting people and saying hi. And so it's absolutely great to look at people, you know. And then often they say, you know, it gives some energy. Because, you know, Jesus is about energy. It's about life, really. But how do you express life, you know? You just let the Jesus that's in you out. You know, when the disciples came back from one of the teams he sent out and he came back saying this happened and this happened. The word it uses is for Jesus praising God. It's the same word you'd use for a young animal being let out of the stalls and it sort of jumps around all over the place with its legs going everywhere. That's the word used to describe Jesus in Greek. Usually in the English it says something like, Jesus thank the Lord. You know, but it's a word that means leap and jump around. And that's why you do it, because you're showing people Jesus. And if Jesus was here in our worship, he'd be enjoying it. Well, he is here, but you know what I mean. I meant physically, body. You know, he turned up. Long robe, sandals, everything. He'd be really into the worship. There's no doubt. Because he was attractive. He was enjoying it. And we become Jesus to the people. But of course, that's the host team. That's the hub team. That's the worship team. But the most important team, then, is the church. The church team. We do exactly the same in how we work. We, you know, it's so important. Sundays isn't just... Let me just steal myself here. Sundays isn't just for us. I was going to say it's not for us. It is for us. Of course it is. But we come to serve. We come to give. We come to hear God so that hearing of God can be given out. Even here, straight away. You know, maybe during the worship you'll think, I really need to pray for Agnes. I would really like to pray for Agnes. I wonder why. Lord, why? And maybe the Lord will tell you. I'm not saying immediately, go and pray for them. There's Agnes, you know, lost in the Lord, and you appear in front of her with a hat. You know, so, no, but afterwards, maybe. Not that you can't do that. Thank you. I don't know why I had to take my glasses off to be a worship leader. Maybe I don't look cool enough with them on, you know. All worship leaders have to look cool. They've all perfected the stance. You know, you can't put your feet the same, no. You've got to have them different. Especially if you... That's why most worship leaders prefer a guitar, because that looks... No, I'm being unfair now. Claire's just thinking, Paul, you're undoing years of work here. Stop, stop. But it's the church team. Because, yes, people will get their first assumption of what Jesus is like by who they meet on the door. The most important people in the building at that moment, and probably for the whole of that morning, are the people on the front door. How they're greeted will affect how they receive everything else that happens. I hope that if you came to church for the first time today, I hope that the people greeted you nicely. Otherwise, you'll be... I'm sure they did. You know, but it's not just their job. It's not even a job. It's just who we are. It's just church being church. Life's too short not to let Jesus out. Okay. A couple more things before we finish. I want to read another little passage, because perhaps... one of the challenges, you know, I hear all this. I think most people, if you're serious about God, you've got this kind of thing going on in your life. I want to see God more active in my life. I think everyone should have that, shouldn't they? It doesn't matter whether you're, you know, just about here gripping by your fingernails this morning. You know, maybe you just about got into church because you're struggling with lots of stuff. Or maybe you feel that you're doing really great with God and things are signing on, but you still want to see more of God living through you, don't you? And you want to experience him more intimately, to know him, all right? To seek him, to know him, to say, yeah, I know God. Well, the only way you can get to know someone is to spend time with them, isn't it? That's what it means to be more intimate with him. It's that hearing the word of the voice of the Lord in terms of giving you instructions, and you know it's God. People sometimes say, how do you know it's God speaking to you? And I can only say, well, genuinely, it's by experience. The more you get to know somebody, the more you know what their voice is like. And who doesn't want to see more miracles? I mean, life's too short to not have miracles. Miracles is seeing God go bang and active in people's lives, isn't it? It's not that we give up if we don't see it, but we've seen plenty. Hallelujah. There's a guy, when we were at... two really remarkable things happened when we were at Hollybush. There were probably more, but two that people told me about a week ago. One was, we didn't really have... It was a different sort of word at Hollybush this time. It was a word that God really, I felt, gave me for Hollybush, which isn't how I normally... go to Hollybush with. It's usually a word of healing and blessing and stuff, but God really gave me a word. Turned out, Jim talking to me afterwards said, that was amazing. He'd got an issue that he wanted to deal with and didn't quite know how to deal with it, and it was going to be awkward for him to deal with it, and God sent me and I did it. I was knees trembling a little bit, but, you know, it was great. We had fun, didn't we? But so at the end, God just gave me a few words for different people. But we didn't have a time of healing. I said, just as I give the word, you receive your healing. And it fitted with what we looked at. And there was just one guy. I got a word about a lot of pain in the ankles. And I can't remember the specifics, but I said about when you'd been to the doctor and when you were going to the doctor next and that kind of stuff. You know, it was one of those, oh, this is scary saying all this stuff, because there's no way you can just, you know, it's a definite God thing. That was it. I didn't ask for a response, so that was that one. And the guy, bless him, waited for ages because I was talking to somebody else or they were talking to me. And he waited for ages and ages and ages to just say, I was the man with the ankles. He said, I could barely walk. He said, and there's no pain at all. It's completely gone. I don't know what the problem was more than that, but hey, that's a miracle. The other one was a more peculiar one. I've never had this one before. It was in response to a word, but the guy that came up said, well, it works out like this. I need to know when my wife died. And that's a strange thing for someone to say. He said it was when we used to live in South Africa. But in those days, I had such a problem with alcohol that I was just out of it all the time. And I need to sort out everything properly and get a death certificate. But I need to know when she died, and I don't know. And I'm thinking, well, I don't even know how to pray for that. And I said, well, let's go for it. I said, as far as I can see, you need a miracle. And you know, at the end of the service, we were out in the cafe, and he came up to me, and he said, within half an hour of you praying for the miracle, I had a phone call from South Africa. It was a pastor out there who said to me, I think I can help you find the date that your wife died. I've got some records. Well, you could say it was a coincidence, but that's an awful lot of miles apart for that to just happen half an hour after you prayed. Isn't it? God is a God of miracles. We want to see more miracles. Yeah? Right, let's read. This is how it's going to happen then. This is from Romans chapter 12, and I was reading earlier. There's a lot of great stuff in this chapter, well worth reading afterwards. I'm just picking out a few highlights, really, but there's a lot more stuff in here. And read it in different translations. The truth, what I'm reading is great, but, you know, read it in the NIV or the New Living and other translations. As members of the same body, which we've talked about before, we are to be devoted to one another, loving each other as members of the same family. This involves honouring others above ourselves and always being eager to serve the Lord by doing whatever he asks for us and doing it with all our hearts. We are also to radiate joy because we are a people of hope. Whether we have to suffer affliction, we are to bear it patiently, and we are to be faithful in prayer. We will be a people who love to give, sharing our resources with God's people who are in need and welcoming others into our homes. That's pretty good, isn't it? That is how you see these things. This is the practical outworking of it. It's about being church. You can't go to church. It's impossible. You have to be the church. And I love the practical stuff. Whenever we have to suffer affliction, we are to bear it patiently. Let's get away from this idea that if we're all just super spiritual, nothing bad will ever happen. We live in a fallen world. What we have the promise is that Jesus will go through us with everything, and he will be our strength, and he will be our joy. So if we do suffer, let's bear it patiently, because we know that God will take us through it. But back, as members of the same party, I mean, this is a challenge, isn't it? You know, there'll be people in here that you probably don't like that much. It's a reality, perhaps, isn't it? I don't know. Well, then we've got to let God work in us, because it's not them that's got to change, it's us. Because if we start thinking about how they've got to change, we're just pointing a finger of judgment. Whatever is happening, we need to be non-judgmental and loving. But it also says to be devoted to one another. Also why small groups are so important. You can't be devoted to 150 people. You can be devoted to the cause of 150 people. You can be devoted to the fact that we're doing this together. You can be devoted to the fact that the offering today is something that we are giving into together. Yes, you can do that. But really, devotion is about relationship, isn't it? Loving each other as members of the same family. Wow. Devoted and loving. This involves honouring others above ourselves. You know, sometimes we cop out of this by thinking we've got to honour the leadership. Yeah, the Bible does say that leaders are worthy of double honour. But actually it says honour everyone above ourselves. And let's not cop out and just say, oh, we've got to honour the leaders. No, we've got to honour everyone. We've got to respect everyone. Everyone? Even though they... Always being eager to serve the Lord by doing whatever he asks of us. Whatever he asks for us, can I just say, I'll pray about it. I'll pray about that. Doing it with all our hearts. That's how you see that happen. It's not about getting more spiritual. I mean, you're not going to see that happen if you never spend time with Jesus, if you're never reading the Word either. You know, that's part of this. But there has to be that practical outworking. And you can't do the practical outworking if there isn't the input from God either. Otherwise, you just end up trying to love people from your own love resource, and you're going to crash and burn. The only way you can be devoted to other people is to have the devotion of Jesus being birthed in you. And know that you, at this stage, you're not Jesus, so you're getting better at it. Let's breathe. Okay. So I'm at the end, just about. There's one more slide here. I was reading a book by Andy Elms, and he put in a challenge to his church in this book, and I thought, oh, I'll share that with Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Because it kind of fits with what's happening today. He just gave two things. I think there were three, but I've made it down to two just to make it easier. No. These two things are about getting over yourself. You know, sometimes we live life, we forget that we're not the most important person in the universe. We make ourselves the most important. And we're not. Jesus is. And then he says, honor others over yourself. Consider others before yourself. Tough stuff, actually. Live beyond you. Life's too short to be focused on you. Live beyond you. That's the adventure. Here's the two things. Here's the first one. Do something for someone else that you would have preferred not to do. I said this is going to be very practical. There you go. That's consider someone else above yourself. You might think, well, I do that all the time. Praise God. Some it might be a huge challenge. Praise God. Let's walk together. Let's walk forward. Do something for someone else that you would have preferred not to do. Doesn't say why you would have preferred not to do it. That's totally up to you. Maybe you didn't want to spend the money or the time or the energy, or you find it difficult to like that person. All that's irrelevant. There you go. There's that one. Here's the other one. This isn't something just for this. Well, if we make it that it's something we do this week, but then what about if we built this into our regular practice? Wouldn't that be the church? Wouldn't that be what Jesus is? Here's the other one. It's equally as simple and equally as challenging. Do something to help church, remembering that the church is the household of God, that requires you to leave your personal comfort zone. What needs to be done? Who needs help that you would find difficult? It's just a thought. Come on, live beyond you. Life's too short. Praise God. I'm going to leave that. I'll leave those up rather than take it off. We're going to finish there. And what we're going to do now, actually, is there's no response in prayer this morning, because our response is actually going to be this summit offering. I haven't really said very much about the summit offering, so very quickly, if you're a visitor here, every 6 months or so, as a congregation, we have an offering, which is a specific extra one, if you like, that goes into all the work that comes out of the summit. All right, it goes into anything that can be based here in this place to enable it to happen. It's a special offering that gives a boost. So previously, it's enabled us, for example, to get the kitchen up and running for food and stuff in previous times. You know, getting all the stainless things we needed and meeting all the regulations and the shelves and the pots and the pans and the bowls and the, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's amazing how it adds up. And that's enabled us to do the food now in the hub, which has been brilliant because it's just a way to bless local people, and we get blessed too. I love the fact I can have a bowl of soup, really enjoy the soup, I've paid for the soup, and the money's gone back into what I'm part of anyway. Isn't that awesome? It's sort of, I'll pay for that, but actually I kind of get it back because I'm part of this, you know? So, but that's the kind of things it's used for. And there's some more things we want to develop in the kitchen. We'd love to get equipment to enable us to make smoothies in the hotter weather, for example. And to have the right equipment that's going to last more than 2 weeks, constantly doing stuff, you have to spend money, don't you? And there's other things that need to happen, like paying the rent. But, you know, there's other things that need to happen as well. But that's what it will go into. But if you're a visitor today, don't feel compelled in any way that, oh, I came on the day they had two offerings, trust my luck. You haven't got to put anything in. You really haven't. You know, we bless you and thank you, and God will bless you for doing it. But this is us together. Okay? Don't forget, as Brian was saying earlier, when we take it up, if you're a person who pays tax, and we can reclaim a load of that. So make sure you've filled in one of those envelopes for that. Because it's just a waste, really, if you don't. David Cameron, well, maybe only for 11 days, but, or 10 days, is it now, gets to keep it instead of it coming back to your gang. So please do that. And there's also slips in the buckets as well if you want to use a card. I often these days just use my phone and just do a direct transfer because that's easy for me, and I always forget the checkbook. Just don't use them anymore, do we? I have got one. It's amazing how long I've had it. It's made of papyrus. It's a stone one. It's down at the front chipping it out. Hallelujah. So let's have the worship team back forward, and They're gonna lead us in a song in a minute, so that challenge is gonna go off the board. But if you are writing a check, please make sure it's to Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, otherwise the bank gets stroppy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Should we just pray before we? They're gonna lead us. They're gonna give us a song to dance and rejoice and respond to. I don't know, has this challenged you? It's very, very simple, isn't it? But as I say, it came from Pastor Andy Elms, and I thought, yeah, that's good, I like that. Unless you're busy writing something out, why don't we just stand and give thanks to God for his provision? Hallelujah. In the last summit offering, I think it was about 6,500, which was awesome. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word to us this morning to just be the church. Thank you, Father, that as we give this morning, we're actually giving into everything that's just been spoken. We're giving into enabling us to be part of that. It's so much bigger than just giving cash this morning, giving finances this morning, Father. Really, we focused on all the other side, but the finance enables these things to be underpinned, Father. But I thank you that you are our provider. I thank you, Lord, that you have provided to every single person in this room. Hallelujah. Can I encourage you this morning, if you are in fear, it's best not to give. If you're feeling under compulsion, you know, oh, I've got to, because what Paul said, don't give. Okay, this is a free will offering. It's to give with joy. It's to give with passion. It's to give with love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we will receive because we are giving, but really, don't let that be your focus. Let worship of Jesus be the focus. Let this be an offering that you know is being used to build the church, to seek first, in another way of putting it, to seek first his kingdom, the rule and the reign of King Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Stir each one of us now, Lord. Enable us to be generous. Enable us not to act out of fear, but out of faith. Not out of compulsion, but out of joy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. See you in a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Ben, over to you, mate. So that can go off. We can put the words up for the song. Hallelujah. Over to you. And as Ben leads us in just a minute, the guys will send those buckets around again. Remember, hold on to that bucket just for a brief bit and thank God for provision into our household. And then pass it on. Because we're giving by faith. Even if you're not putting anything in today, just thank God for the provision for the household. Hallelujah. Over to you, sir.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.